Okay, good morning. Just want to thank everyone very much for coming. And may our learning be a merit. Li'ilui nishmas, mi'ira chaya, nechama bracha, alea shalom bas David Mordechai. We'll begin again with Chaf Hei Amud Beis, the beginning of Maseches Tamid. Maseches Tamid deals with, the Mishnayos deal with, the order of the Karban Tamid. So appropriately for a Kohen, the Beis HaMikdash was run by the Kohanim, and how did it actually happen? What happened first thing in the morning? What happened in the afternoon? Where in the Beis HaMikdash were the animals slaughtered? Where were they skinned? Where were their parts cut up? And then where were they washed? All the features of the Beis HaMikdash are the topics of Maseches Tamid and the next Masechta, Masechet Midos. So let's begin here on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The first Mishnah teaches us that there was an honor guard in the Beis HaMikdash. B'shlosha mekomos ha-Kohanim shomrim b'Beis HaMikdash. There were three spots where the Kohanim would be guarding. We're going to see it's the young Kohanim who would be standing up on balconies and guarding the Beis HaMikdash. So those three spots were Beis Avtinas. Beis Avtinas was a room of where they used to make the Ketores. Avtinas was the family that used to make the Ketores. So they had a room on top of a balcony where they would be making the Ketores. This is familiar to us because the Kohen Gadol would spend a lot of time in the Beis Avtinas reviewing the laws of the Ketores before Yom Kippur. That was the room where he used to stay up all night, the night of Yom Kippur, to make sure he didn't fall asleep. So Beis HaMikdash, in this nice Gemara, they have a nice picture, color photograph of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, the Beis HaMikdash stood from east to west. When we go to the Kotel, we go to the west, to the wall that would have been behind Beit HaMikdash. The entrance to Beit HaMikdash from the east was over on the other side of Jerusalem, you know, the Mount Scopus, Mount Olive side. That's where you go into Beit HaMikdash. And here you have a picture of the Mizbeach. Beit Avtinas was to the left of the Mizbeach. To the right of the Mizbeach, there was a wall. And in the wall, there were two structures we're going to talk about today. One structure was the big room called the Beis HaMoked. Moked is a term for fire. They had a fire there to keep people warm. That's where people used to sleep. And then further along, there was another room called the Beis HaNitzotz, which we saw different explanations for. One of the explanations that there were fires there too, which they would use to keep the fire of the Mizbeach burning. So anyway, first, Beis Avtinas was on the other side. It was up here. This is the Beis Avtinas. It was a room up on top. And so there was a Kohen there standing as an honor guard. The other two places were Beis HaNitzotz on the right side of the Mizbeach, namely to the north of the Mizbeach. And then Beis HaMoked, then there was a Kohen standing in the Beis HaMoked, also to the northern side of the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah began by teaching us there were three places where the Kohanim were watching, were guarding in the Beis HaMikdash: Beis Avtinas, Beis HaMoked, and Beis HaNitzotz. So now the Mishnah continues and explains. Beis Avtinas, Beis HaNitzotz, Beis Avtinas, Beis HaNitzotz, Hayu Alios. So the Beis Avtinas and Beis HaNitzotz, these rooms were both attics. They were not on the floor. They were up on top of stilts. They were on top of porticos. And Virovim Shomrim Sham. It was these young Kohanim, who were younger than 13, who would be doing the watching. However, Beis HaMoked was a kippah. Beis HaMoked was built on an arch. And Bayis HaGadol Haya. That was the big room. And it was mukaf, it was surrounded all around in the Beis HaMoked with rovdin shel even, with little protrusions of stone. In other words, there were these shelves, stone shelves
along the wall of the Beis Hamokeid, and Kohanim would sleep on these stones. V'ziknei Beis Av, so the elders of that week's group of Kohanim. The Beis Av is the week's group, the days actually. The Mishmar was the week's group, the group for the week, and the Beis Av was the group for the day. So the elders of the Beis Av, the elders of the group of the day, Yeshenim Sham, would sleep there on these boards. Now, Umaftechos Ha'azara Biyadam, the keys to the Azara were in their hands. Pirchei Kohuna, he's already Kohanim over the age of 13, they wouldn't sleep on the boards, but they would sleep on the floor, and they would use as like a little bit of bedding their clothing. Ish kisto ba'aretz, each person would put his clothing on the ground, and then they would lay down on the clothing and sleep there. Now, when they would be sleeping, they wouldn't be wearing the holy clothing, nor would they sleep on top of holy clothing, because that would be me'il already. So lo yishenim bevigdei kodesh, they would not sleep wearing holy garments. Elohayuposhtim, but rather they would take off the holy garments. Umanichan osan tachas rasheim, they would put them underneath their heads. There's a discussion at the Gemara whether it literally was under the heads or maybe next to the heads. Umiskasim b'ksus atzman, and they would cover themselves with their own clothing. Okay, so now this is basically what we had gotten up to yesterday. So now the Mishnah continues. There is an institute in Israel called Machon HaMikdash, the Temple Institute. They are in the Old City, and they are trying to build the Third Temple. So they have made diagrams and pictures of what they think the Second Temple looked like based on these Mishnayos and these Gemaros. So this is an encyclopedia of theirs of what they think the Second Temple looked like. This is how they are drawing the Beis Hamokeid. So there was this big fire to warm the floors. This is where the key of the Azara was hidden, in a floorboard. And here, this is how they interpret these rock protrusions, these shelves where the elders would be sleeping in the Beis Hamokeid of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now the Mishnah teaches, Ira keri le'echad mehen. What were to happen if one of the Kohanim, while sleeping at night, has a discharge of semen? So if semen comes out of him, which is a byproduct of sleep, he's tummy. So now, he's supposed to go to the mikvah, but going to the mikvah is not enough. He has to, after going to the mikvah, has to wait for the sun to come down and the stars to come out. We call Harav Shemesh, to become pure. But before that, he's even less pure. So what's he going to do now? He's not allowed to be in the temple if he's a Balkari. So what happens is like this. Yotze v'holechlo. He would now have to leave the Beis HaMokeid and go down into the bowels of the Temple Mount. Underneath the Temple Mount were many tunnels. These tunnels were not consecrated. They did not have the holiness of the Temple Mount. So therefore, even though they were an impure person, not allowed to walk around on the Temple Mount, not allowed to walk around in the Temple itself, he can walk in the tunnels underneath the Temple Mount. So if a Kohen were to have a discharge of semen, he would go down in this mesiba, he would go down in this tunnel, Haholeches lo tachas habira, which would lead him underneath the palace. The palace is a reference to the building of the temple. It would lead him underneath the Kodesh HaKadashim. V'neiros dolkin mikan mikan. Now, how do you see when you're in a tunnel? So they had candles along the walls of the tunnel to illuminate the tunnel. Lamps to illuminate the tunnel. Ad shumagia lebeis hatvila, until he would get to the place where there was a mikvah outside of the Azara. Umedura Haisasham. This is where we had gotten up to yesterday, actually. Umedura Haisasham. There was this big bonfire in this tunnel near the mikvah. Because, just think about it, right? A person has a discharge. He wakes up, early morning, Kros HaGever, 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he walks through a tunnel, and he gets to some underground mikvah. It's cold. So he jumps into the mikvah, but then there's a big fire to warm him when he comes out. Not only that, next to this mikvah, There was a Beis HaKisei Shel Kavod. There was a place to go to the bathroom of great respect. Now, there's normally, in those days, they did not have bathrooms in the home. They would have a lavatory outside of the home, an outhouse outside of the home. And the outhouse was not so respectful. You could have four or five people all discharging whatever has to be discharged. But here, what was so respectful, this was only a single person. There was a door for this bathroom. When the door was closed, you knew you couldn't go in. Someone was in there. So this was a very respectful bathroom. So Beis HaKisei Shel Kavod. Zehaya Kvodo. This was the great honor that was in this Beis HaKisei. Mitzao Na'ul. If you found the door locked, Yodea Shiesham Adam. You know there's a person there. You can't go in. Pasuach. If it was open, Biyadua She'en Sham Adam. Then you knew there was no one there and you could go in. So again, we're talking about the Beis HaMoked. Kohanim are sleeping in the Beis HaMoked. The elders are sleeping on the bench, on the shelves, along the wall. The young Kohanim are sleeping on the floor. The really young Kohanim are standing outside as an honor guard. If a Kohen, who while he's sleeping has a discharge of semen, so now he's Tamei, so he has to go, can't, you know, the normal way out of the Beis HaMoked is into the Azaras, into the courtyard of the temple, next to the Mizbeach. So that's not right. He shouldn't walk there to walk out of the temple. So what we do is we have him walk down into the tunnel. There were steps leading from the Beis HaMoked into the tunnels. He would walk through the tunnels to get to the mikvah, go to the mikvah. Next to the mikvah there was a bathroom. Yarad v'taval, he would go down and immerse in the mikvah. Allah, when he'd come out of the mikvah, v'nistapig, he would towel dry. Then he would warm himself next to this big bonfire. Then he would come back to the Beis HaMoked, and he would sit with all the other his brothers, the Kohanim. Okay, now the Beis HaMoked was outside of the Azara, but its door was next to the Azara. And then, Ad Shehayu Sha'arim Niftachim, till the gates of the Azara would open, and then Yotzei v'holechlo, he would exit and go back home. Because he was still a Tvul Yom, right? The sun hadn't set yet, so he couldn't do any Azar in the Beis HaMikdash, any service in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now we're up to wake up. When it's time for the Kohanim to wake up, what's the first service of the day of the Kohanim? Okay, good. Trumas HaDeshen. So the first service is a Kohen gets the privilege of walking up to the top of the Mizbeach, taking a shovel, and there was a huge, you know, there were three big fires on the Mizbeach, so he would go to the Ma'aracha Gedola, the main big fire, and that big fire is burning, you know, Evarim, limbs, and Chalavim, and fats of Karbanos. So he would find, you know, some, he'd get to the middle of that fire and take some ashes. He would move around the ashes, take some ashes, bring them down, and then walk 10 amos away from the ramp, drop the ashes to the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash would miraculously swallow the ashes. That was a miracle that would happen in the Beis HaMikdash. So, who gets to do this? This is a great privilege to go up to the Mizbeach and to begin the service by taking off some of the ashes, as Rabbi Samson Rafael Hirsch suggests so beautifully. The message of going to the Mizbeach and taking off some ashes. What are the ashes? The ashes are what's left of yesterday's carbon. Yesterday's carbon was put onto the Mizbeach at night and burned through the whole night. You take off some ashes. So what a beautiful thing. You can only begin today when you continue from yesterday. You can only begin our service when we continue the service of our parents and of our grandparents. That's the message, according to Rabbi Hirsch. So now it's time to choose who's going to get that privilege of walking up to the top of the Mizbeach and taking off the ashes. So they had a lottery. That's how in modern Israel, when they wanted to create a language out of Hebrew, so I don't know why they didn't use the word goral, but anyway, there's toto, loto, but there's mif'al ha'pais. So mif'al ha'pais is the national lottery commission. Pious is the term for choosing the Kohen for any of the acts of service. It's a Mishnaic term. So they would have a pious. So how would they do the pious? They'd wake up the Kohanim, They would stand around in a circle. You can't stand in a circle in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Azara, because if you stand in a circle, then some people have their back to the Heichal. No one's allowed to have his back to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So they would have to do this pious. They'd have to do this pious in the Beis HaMoked, which is not in the Azara, and stand around in a circle, and the group would decide amongst themselves on a number. Let's say they decide on 74. So they decide on 74. Then the Mamuna, the person appointed, would come in and he would take off the turban of the one he's starting with, and then he'd start counting around in the circle. You're one, now you're two, you're three, you're four, you're five. They'd all pick up their fingers and he'd count around till he gets to the number 74. You're the one who won. You're the one who got the privilege to take off the ashes. So that's what would happen. Mishu wrote a litrum as a mizbeach. Those people who wanted to be, anyone who wanted to have that privilege of taking the ashes off of the mizbeach, mashkim, he'd wake up early, v'tova, and he'd go to the mikvah, ad shelo yavo mamuna, before the appointed kohen comes. Now, v'chibeza shabba mamuna, when would the appointed kohen come in to do the pious, to do the lottery, to choose the person who has the privilege of going to take off the ashes of the mizbeach? Lo kol itim shavos. It wasn't always the same time. Sometimes he would come at the beginning of the morning, right, the last third of the night when the rooster is crowing. And sometimes he would come before that, and sometimes he would come after that, as we learned in Yuma on Yom Kippur, right? It all depended on how busy they were. If they were very busy, let's say the Yom Tovim were coming up to Sukkot, so you had Aliyah LeRegel, everybody's there, and everybody has to bring a Karban Chagiga, and there are a lot of people who are bringing their obligations because they don't want to violate Baal Ta'acher, they're bringing their Chatos, and they're bringing their Kinim, and so the Mizbeach is going to be very busy. It started as soon as possible. It started at the Ashmora Rishona, 10 p.m. On Yom Kippur, they would start at Chatzos, at midnight. But normally it would be at Kros HaGever. Normally it would be at towards the end of the night. Yeah, question.
What was the job of the Leviim in Beit
HaMikdash? We're going to get to it in the Gemara. The Leviim had two jobs. They had jobs to be guards, and they had a job to sing. They used to accompany the Karban Tamid with song. There was a big duchan, a big platform built near the Mizbeach, and during when the Kohanim would be doing the service of the Karban Tamid, especially pouring the wine, when the Kohen would be walking on the Mizbeach to pour the wine down the corner, then the Leviim would be on this platform singing and playing musical instruments. That's what the Leviim would be doing. And there would be guards. So we'll see in the Gemara, where were the Kohanim guards, where were the Leviim guards? But the Leviim were guards and the Leviim would be singing.
The word pais comes from its pais. Because once you do
pais, nice. Everybody gets
it.
It's compromise. Nobody can say he was.
That's
joking.
Nice. That's nice. Everybody agrees. Beautiful.
Rabbi?
Yes, please.
Sorry. Well, I think we learned that the reason for this pais of the Kohanim for Matadeshan is because they were fighting.
In Yuma, in Masechet Yuma. Okay, so now it's time to wake up. It's time to start the service. Hamamun Eba, the appointed Kohen, who's in charge of choosing, comes. The Dafak Alein, he would knock on the door of the Beis Hamoked. The Hein Paschulo, they would open up the gates of the Beis Hamoked. Varmalan, and he would say, Misha Tavel, anyone who's gone to the mikvah, Yavo, he can come to the Beis Hamoked half, which is holy, viyafis, and he can participate in the pious. Hefisu, they would make this lot. Umisha zacha, zacha bo. Whoever got the privilege of doing the service got the privilege to do the service. Okay, that was the end of the first Mishnah. The Mishnah began by teaching us that there was an honor guard in the Beit HaMikdash in three places, in Beis HaMoked, the big room, in Beis HaNitzotz, in the area where they had this, you know, these sparks. Maybe it's the sparks of the fire for the Mizbeach, according to one opinion. And in Beis Avtinas, in the room where they would make the Ketoras. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? That you need to have Kohanim watching in three places. Amar Abaye explained, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, after the counting of the Leviim in Parshas Bamidbar, and those who are camping in front of the Mishkan, Kedma, to the east, Lifnei Oel Moed Mizracha, before the tent of meeting to the east, would be Moshe and Aaron Ubanav. Moshe, Aaron, and his sons, Shomrim, who are watching Mishmeres HaMikdash, the watch of the sanctuary, Lemishmeres B'nei Yisrael, for the watching of the children of Israel. You see, you have Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. That's three Kohanim. Moshe is one, Aaron is the second, his sons is a third. And they are Shomrim Mishmeres HaMikdash, Lemishmeres B'nei Yisrael. And they're protecting the sanctuary for the Jews. So that's the source. You have to have an honor guard of three Kohanim watching.
CSS.
Good. Amri, so they asked in the yeshiva. In. Okay, that's the case. Shimur Ba'alma Ashkechan Debay. Okay, you see that they have to watch on this pasuk. Miu, but however, Masnisin Katani Bishlosha Mekomo Sakonim Shom Beves HaMikdash. The Mishnah says that the Kohanim watch in three places. Vilu Bikra, but the pasuk was Kohanim and Levim Ba'adi Adadiksev. The pasuk mixes Kohanim and Levim. This is Baruch's question. Where are the Levim? The pasuk talks about Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. Moshe is a Levi. So, where are the Levim? Where are the Kohanim? Amri, the answer in the yeshiva, achikam, this is what the pasuk means. V'achonim lifnei mishkan kedma, those who camp in front of the sanctuary to the east, lifnei oel moed, before the tent of meeting, mizracha, to the east, Moshe. In other words, Moshe would watch on the east. V'hadar, and then the pasuk goes on to say, besides Moshe at the east, you had Aaron uvanav, shomri mishmeres hamikdash, you had Aaron and his sons watching the watch of the temple. So they're watching separately. And therefore, it sounds like Aaron b'chad makom. Aaron is one place, because he's Lashon Yachid. Ubanav, it says, and his sons. His sons is another two. So that's b'shnei makomo. So they're in two other places. So you have three places, Aaron and his two sons. So Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that they are in different places? D'chsev, the answer is because the pasuk says, midichtiv, because it says, V'hachonim, and those who are camping. And then it says, Shomrim, and those who are watching. So that tells you, Chonim L'chud, that Moshe is a Chonah, he's by himself. And then there is the Shomrim L'chud, and there are those watching by themselves, Aaron and his sons. V'emas, the Gemara says, maybe, Kulu B'chad Makom L'chude, maybe they were all in one place. I know they're in three different places. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadaitich, you can't think to say that. Moshe certainly is not in three places. He's in one place by himself. So, Ma Moshe b'chad makom l'chudei. If Moshe is on his own in this pasuk, he's l'choneh. So he's one place. And Aaron uvanav, each one of their own places. Aaron uvanav b'chad makom l'chudei. Each one is in his own place. Rav Ashi said a different way to read it. How do you know that the Kohanim have to watch in three places? Because the Torah uses the word shomrim three times in this pasuk. You say for the end of the pasuk, it says shomrim mishmeres lemishmeres. They're watching a watch for a watch. So the fact that it says the term watch three times, that tells you that the Kohanim need to watch in three places. And that was the source that Kohanim were watching in three places. Okay, now beginning Chavav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah said that the three places that the Kohanim are watching in is Beis Avtinas and Beis HaNitzotz and Beis HaMoked. It said there was a difference. Beis Avtinas and Beis HaNitzotz were attics. Beis HaMoked was built on top of an arch, on top of a kippah. So now the Gemara asks a question. What does it mean it was an attic? Ibailu had a question in the yeshiva. Alios mamishayu? Were they literally attics, that there was a living space underneath the Beis Avtinas and a living space underneath the Beis HaNitzotz? Odinwa maybe wasn't literally an attic, but rather davu gevia migva kalios. They were built in a higher area as if they were on an attic, but underneath them you didn't have living space, but they were just built on a high spot. So tashma, coming here, proof. Titznan, we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Nidos, which is the next Mesechta, that there were seven gates to the Azara, three of them in the north. One of them was in the Beis HaNitzotz, and the Mishnah describes that gate, and it says, Shebat Safon, the first of the northern gates, was Shar HaNitzotz, the gate of the Beis HaNitzotz. Kemin Aksadra Haya. It was like a portico. It was like a portico. V'aliya b'nuya al gaba, with an attic built on top of it, a porch built on top of it. Shakohanim shomer milamala. The Kohanim would be doing their watch up on top. V'aleviyim milamata. And the Leviim would be watching down below. U'pesach hayalo lachol. And had a door going out to the outside area, to outside of the Azara. So what do you see here? That it was a it was like an attic. So it means that underneath it was space that looked like living space. This is a picture of it over here, right? This is the Beis HaNitzotz. So this was what we were talking about. This is where the Kohanim would stand to watch, the Beis HaNitzotz up on top. And it was literally like a underneath it there was, it was open, it was a portico. But it was like a space. It was like a real doorway. People could live there. There was a door over here to lead out to the Har HaBayit, to the Chol. And that's what it was. It was a Beis HaNitzotz. Please.
So the Sharim was green. So nobody, no Kohen was during the night in the Azara and the Echal.
Correct.
Nothing.
So. Yes. Yeah.
They had Shomrim.
They had Shomrim. They had these guards watching.
How about these gates that you mentioned? They could go from gate 1 to gate 3 or 2.
No, these were gates to enter into the temple.
Yeah, but they could go from one to the other, or they had to go in the basement to go up and...
No, no, they didn't have to go to the basement.
No?
Did not have to go to the basement.
No.
Yes.
You said that there were, what's called, there were lots for the Truma Sedesha?
Yes.
Which we learned about the two people were racing up.
Right.
And then they...
One pushed off the other.
One pushed off exactly, and then one, and they decreed not to do it.
Correct. So the lots are after the decree. Okay, so we just mentioned that the Kohanim were on top and the Leviim were below in the watching. Minani Mili, how do we know this? That the Kohanim and Leviim are watching the same spot, one on top and one below. The Tanya Rabbanim, we learned in a Braisa, the Pasuk says in Parshas Korach, V'gam esachecha mi'ate levi shevet avicha hakrivitach v'ilavu alecha v'yasharsucha. Take the Leviim and they will accompany you and they will serve you. V'atu v'anecha itach lifnei o'alo edus, you and your sons with you in front of the tent of testimony, v'shamru mishmartecha, and they will guard your guarding. Umishmeres kola ohel, and the watching of the entirety of the tent. So you see that they have to be with you. So you learn from here. Ba'avodascha kasav medaber. The service of the Leviim is in the same service of the Kohanim. It says yilavu itach, they'll accompany you. So where you watch, that's where they watch. You're on top and they're below. You're saying that they're doing your service. They're together with you. Why don't you say the other way? They have their own service. There's certain areas that only Leviim watch and other areas that only Kohanim are watching. And so you can't say that. Kishu Omer, once it says, V'nilvu alecha v'shamru, and they will accompany you and they will watch. Hare ba'avodasam amur. That was already their service said, that they have their own places. Hamani Mekayim, so what do I get from the beginning of that pasuk? V'yilavu elecha v'yasharsucha. They'll accompany you, not in watch, but in service you. That's to say, ba'avodascha kasam medaber, that they're watching in the same spot that you're watching. Haketzad, so in the three places where the Kohanim are, Kohanim shomim milamala, the Kohanim are watching on top, u'leviyim milamata, and the Leviim are watching from below.
Meaning at the gates?
Underneath, yeah.
Right.
And the Kohanim are on top, aren't they?
Yes, on the
portico. Yeah. Yeah. That shifts. If a guard is falling asleep, they would burn his clothing. They had the right keep people awake. Yes, they would not let anyone sleep. In disrespect.
We do shmirah. If we sleep, we got in jail for a few days. We.
Yeah, that's what's going on here. Then the Mishnah said that the Beis Hamoked was built as with a kippah, with a dome. It was built on top of a dome. Ubayas Gadol Hay was a very large room. Asks the Gemara, V'chad Shomer Udahava B'Beis Hamoked, is there only one guard in the Beis Hamoked? Or Amin, I'll challenge you from the Mishnah and Midos. We learned in the Mishnah and Midos, Shnei Sha'arim Hay B'Beis Hamoked. There were two large gates in the Beis Hamoked. Echad Pasuach L'Chayel. One was opening to the Chayel. The Chayel was an area between the Azara and the Soreg. The Soreg was the wall that kept out the non-Jews. Non-Jews could come up till the Soreg. So there was the area of the Chayel, and there was 10 Amos on Temple Mount between the Azara and the Soreg, and Echad Pasuach La'Azara, and the other door was opening up to the Azara itself. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda added, "Bezesh and Ichnasin LaAzara." That door that would open up to the Azara, Pishpesh Katan Hayelo. It had a small doorway in it. Shabo Nichnasin Livlosh HaAzara. They used to go through this small doorway without opening this big door that made a lot of noise, to go do a check in the Azara to make sure that all the utensils are in their spot and nothing was stolen. So, if it had a little doorway, that means it's a very, very large gate. So if it's a very large gate, you should have a guard there. It's respect. So why did we say only one guard in the Beis Hamoked? There should be two guards. There should be a guard at the gate leading out of the Beis Hamoked and the guard leading out of the Beis Hamoked to the Azara. So Amar Abai answered, given the Gabi Adad Yavukaimi, since the two gates were parallel to each other, Sagila b'chad shomer was enough to have a single guard, because he could look at this side, he could look at that side, he could look at this side, he could look at that side. They were parallel to each other, so you didn't need two guards. All right. So now the elders of the day's kohanim, they'd be sleeping along the wall on these rock protrusions. So the Mishnah said, "Umukaf rovadin shel even." The Beis Hamoked was surrounded with rows of stone. So the Gemara says, Rovadim mai ninhu, what type of rows? The Gemara explains, Gizrita d'itztabta. These were rows of cut, squared stones, so that would come out of the wall. The Salkibul d'itztabta. And they would go up on these stones to a higher row. So they were built basically like these wide steps. The lowest one was very wide, and above them was a little bit narrower, above that a little bit narrower. And that's where they could climb up, and the Kohanim would sleep on top of these stones. Now this is a big problem. How could you have cut stones in Beit HaMikdash? You know, one of the laws of Beit HaMikdash is that you're not allowed to use any metal instruments to cut any of the stones. So how'd they have cut stones? So the Gemara now asks, how could they cut the stones? But the Torah says, when Shlomo Melech built the Beit HaMikdash, he used complete stones. You didn't hear any chisel or saw or hammer or nail or chipping in the Beis HaMikdash when the Beis HaMikdash was built.
What was that animal used to walk there and cut the stone?
The shamir, worm, that's right. But that was again only in the first Beis HaMikdash, not in the second. We're talking here about the second Beis HaMikdash. So Amar Abaye said, you're right. They didn't cut the stones in the Beis HaMikdash. They cut it outside. They used to cut the stones earlier, small ones and wider ones, and then they would put them into the wall. As it says, that Avne Eser Amos, Avne Shmona Amos, there were some stones that were 10 Amos, other stones that were 8 Amos. So they cut them in the quarry, and then they brought the fully cut stone to the Beit HaMikdash and then installed them in the wall so that people would be able to sleep in the Beit HaMikdash. Apparently. Yeah, apparently outside. You couldn't hear on the Temple Mount the sound of construction. I mean, construction, yes, but the sound of knives and metal that wasn't appropriate for the Temple Mount itself.
They shattered these stones. I don't know. Right. So huge.
They were very big.
A lot of volunteers. Everyone wants.
That's true. That's true.
Is that stone? They
who wouldn't
want to
hold a piece of the stone while carrying it?
I think that weighs like more matos.
Yes. Amazing. Okay. Now, why didn't they sleep on beds? Zikne beisav yeshenim sham. The elders of that day's group of Kohanim, the beisav, they would sleep there. Why? Why don't they bring some beds in? Amra Abaye, Abaye said, Lav orach ara la yule mitos lebeis hamikdash. It's not respectful to bring beds into the Beis HaMikdash. So, interestingly, I see here in the footnote, they quote the Rambam. He says that even when sleeping, the Kohanim are really fulfilling a role of being guards. That, and so, you know, a guard in front of a king's palace, maybe he takes a little nap on the floor when his friend is watching, but he's never going to go bring a bed, lay down on a bed in front of the king's palace. So they're even the Kohanim who are sleeping are really the guards of the Beit HaMikdash, so it wouldn't be respectful to do it at the bed. What's that? Yes. But you're allowed to sleep in a Beis Medrash, and a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sleep in a shul. Yes. So now the Mishnah went on to say, Pirchei Kohuna, the young Kohanim, who were adults, they were not the Ruvya, then Ish Ksuto Ba'aretz, each person would put his garment on the ground and sleep on it. Amai Hasam Karile Rovim, why does it begin when talking about the guards, it calls them Rovim? And Hacha Karilu, here it calls them Pirchei Kohuna. Sa'amri, so they explained in the yeshiva. In, there's a real difference. Hasam, the guards who are watching, Delomatu, the Mebar Avoda, they were not old enough to do the Avoda. They weren't 13 years old. They were 12 year old. They're the ones doing the watching. Therefore, Karilu Rovim, that's what they're called, Rovim, as in young, very young. Hacha, but when we talk about the Kohanim who are sleeping in the Beis HaMokeid, that's referring to Kohanim who have already been past 13. To Matulum Ebed Avoda, they've already gotten to the age where they can do the Avoda. So Karluhu Pirche, that's what they're called, the Pirche Kohuna, and they're not called the Rovin.
Rabbi, all these Kohanim,